Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life Laughter Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Johnny. How are you doing?
Doing good. And I just like to say that our guest today, I bought on specifically for Barbara. Her name is Debbie Wayne. She's a grief coach. And I guess the reason I bought her on is I'm sure you've heard on recent shows, Barbara recently suffered a loss. And, you know, it's hard. So I've always tried to, when I pick guests, I try to pick guests that benefit other people, not just myself, or things that other people find
you,
that are a benefit. And when I saw Debbie Wayne.
Is she here with us today? Who do we have?
I am here. Yes. Thank you for inviting me. I'm honored.
Welcome, Debbie Wayne, grief coach. And thank you so much, Johnny, for bringing on Debbie. And Debbie, it's so nice to meet you and have you on today. That makes me feel really cared for and loved. Thank you.
Well, I think it's a gift that Johnny brought me on for you, because grief can be such a lonely time. So to have somebody care about you enough to want to help you is a blessing.
Yes, and it is so lonely. And it's a feeling of, okay, you're sitting there with your feelings and you don't know who to tell, because in my case, it was a big breakup. And so the close friends, that's what they will remember. They will remember me 2 years ago crying out to them like, oh, this is happening, I'm going through this breakup, all upset. And then me, a year later, then making amends with the person and getting a strong friendship back, since I was a friend for 18 years before we got together, got that all back. They don't remember that. So the loneliness came when I felt like I couldn't tell my best friends. Well, I did tell them, and they were like, why do you care? Why do you care about that? I mean, you know, da, 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 da. And so then I just went, I retreated, and I never talked to them about it again, because I felt like they don't understand my grief. And then you start to question yourself sometimes if you're not up on this, you know, if you're not an expert like you, like, why am I grieving so much for an ex? Well, you know, I admire him greatly. I mean, there's a lot of reasons. Can you tell me why this is going on? And as a human, what's going on with my grief right now?
Well, what I would say, not knowing you personally or knowing everything about that, my feelings would be that you loved him, and that even though you had a bad breakup, even if it was there was something that made you both really angry with each other, that doesn't mean that there wasn't love at some point in time, right? Even like I have two adult daughters, and they're my heart and soul, but I divorced their dad. If something happened to him, I would still grieve him. I would still grieve that he was a love of my life. He gave me my children. And just because you're not together anymore doesn't mean that you can't be grateful and be thankful for all those good times that you guys had together. Even if there's bad ones, there's still good ones.
Oh, yeah. And what about all of the things that are good? And what about forgiveness? What about, I mean, that's what you just said, all the good memories, but what about forgiveness? Okay. I was looking up so many things on YouTube trying to find, why is this so important? I know the person who's being forgiven, yeah, okay, that helps them, but it helps the person who's forgiving more. Why? What is this? And are we, to that seems to be somewhat selfish. Like, okay, I'm going to forgive you because then I won't have that on my back. But is that true forgiveness? Can you explain forgiveness and why it's so important?
That is not true forgiveness. Forgiveness is saying, you know what, I might not understand. I might not like what you did, but you did what you did. And I want to move forward So I'm just going to let this go. And I'm going to say what was, was. I'm going to let be, be. And I'm going to move forward. And I'm not going to hold on to anger and resentment and hate, because it doesn't do me any good in my soul. So I'm going to just let that go, and I'm going to move forward. And, you know, I would tell you also, Barbara, that I think a lot of times when we lose somebody, the person that is the closest in this grief starts remembering all of the good times. And we truly do push back and push down any of the bad times. So I'm sure in the time frame of when he passed to today, you're probably thinking way more about his smile and his caring nature and his love and the laughs you guys shared, because by nature, that's what we want to remember. And there is nothing in this world that says you have to remember the negative. You don't have to remember that. That doesn't even sound like who you are.
No, and that's what I was trying to tell one of my friends. Look, I naturally it just came to me after about a year, you know, time, I guess, maybe your heart softens. I naturally just gravitate to forgiving people. I mean, some people call it, oh, well, you're too forgiving. No, I have that natural forgiving nature. I feel pretty normal. I feel pretty healthy in the mind. You know, I don't have any weird mental problems. So I feel like the ones that don't forgive, they're the ones that have a problem.
And not only that, but don't you feel like those people, I don't want to sound like negative, but people that hold on to all the negative, like, are tense, and they're just, I don't feel like they're as happy, because sometimes in life you just, I'm not saying that you don't learn your lesson and you don't go back to the same relationship, but that doesn't mean that you can't say, hey, if I run into this person all the time, I'm going to be cordial and I'm going to make my life easier by being kind, because you know what? That's who I am. And I am not going to let this person's negative actions change who I am. And you just seem like, everything I've read about you, that I've listened to your podcast, you are just a kind soul. So to hold on to bitterness and anger and non-forgiveness, that's going to change you as a person. And why would you let somebody do that to you?
Right. And I didn't. And you know what? I'm so glad. I am so very glad, Debbie, because now that he has passed, what if I didn't? A year after, I said, I have your tools. I am moving. Please come. He was so nice. I could still feel like the hurt in his heart and his eyes and welling up with tears and wanted to try again. And I wasn't at that point. Then I moved back to California and he invited me to a nice concert, a beautiful outdoor Hawaiian concert last summer. And then we had a beautiful dinner together. We laughed. We were able to laugh about the big, like, breakup, blow up, and the drama. And we were able to laugh our butts off about it for 3 hours and great talks. And that's what I loved about him. I loved his laugh. I loved the deep talks. I loved him as a person. And I would be so much regretting it right now if I wouldn't have ever had that making amends evening. I would have regretted it so much.
Yeah, and isn't it so lovely that because you allowed forgiveness into your heart, that now when you think about him, you can really truly think about his smile and his laugh, and you don't have to think about the breakup and, oh, should have you done this and shouldn't have you done that. And I am not saying that this situation is the right thing for every person. You have to be at a place where you're okay with that and that you're opening and availing yourself to that. Because if you're just trying to force it, you may have more regrets. But I think you felt and you said, this is what's right for me, and I'm going to go with it. And you didn't let everybody else's feelings and advice and all the garbage of the world lead you. You listen to your intuition, and you were led by that.
Yes. And do you feel like that's kind of like a go with your gut feeling? And you know what? No, I loved him. I'm hurting. I want to contact his best friends. I want to offer my condolences. I want to do my tribute. I'm so grateful that I had that last time with him. And oh my gosh, I just feel like I listened to my own gut. And you know what? I'm so happy and pleased with the results of doing that. And you know what? The other people, doesn't even matter. I'm not mad at you for being negative when I told you about it. I'm not mad at you either. I'm moving forward.
Well, and truly, they were negative about it because they love and care for you, and they don't want to see you hurt again. And they know that that breakup hurt you, and they don't want to see that hurt come back. And you know what? You are a grown woman, and you have to make your own decisions, and you have to listen to your own gut. And, you know, I think I don't want to negate what we're talking about, but I also want to talk about right now, you know, there is this, there's the pandemic, there is COVID, and right now so many people are having to deal with their own mortality that it's really difficult. It's a difficult time because we're all thinking, that could have been me. That could have been me.
That
and,
too.
And
very good point.
Yeah, it really causes some different kinds of grief because a lot of times we're almost grieving for ourselves. Like, how many years did I waste? Oh my gosh, I should have taken better care of my health. I better start now. Oh my gosh, it's overwhelming. And then you start this vicious cycle. So I don't want to negate the fact that, you know, you shared with me your age. We are the same age. And it's very easy to go, that could have been me. And then it's funny how the body will start internalizing it and you almost start grieving for things you haven't done.
That is so true. You know what? I may not have brought that up, but you being an expert, not forget that. That is such a great point because I was dealing with that too. It's like that hit so close to home. I lost a close person that I almost married to COVID. Okay. That is so close to home. So I'm going through all those, that gamut of emotions as well on top of that. So don't be so hard on myself, right? Like, wonder why crying here and there. You got to. You have to let it out. We did a show about showing your emotions, and I just go with it. Hey, if I want to cry, I'm going to cry because it's healthy to get that out. So what happens if you don't? What happens if you keep that in?
Oh, I think it does just irreparable damage. You have to express your feelings. And if you can't do it with somebody that's with you, find a counselor and find somebody that is trained. There's so many hospice centers and there's counseling centers and grief centers and there's hotlines. Expressing your emotions and your grief and your pain is a blessing. And it is a way to help yourself. And I also believe when we grieve someone, it's because we really loved, right? So you're crying randomly is because you loved him deeply and you loved him. Now, there's also times that we can cry randomly because we have regrets. And if we have regrets, we need to learn from those. We need to process those. We need to get help to talk about those because if you don't deal with that, you're going to carry it forward into the next person.
Yes. Oh, I learned really a lot about regrets recently too with a different relationship because, and Johnny knows everything that happened. When I had a very bad accident, two people called me right away. One was the Ron Montez, first one to call me. he was just like, no, no, not you, not Barbara, not Barbara, when he saw, because I had a GoFundMe put up by my friend who I had a stair fall at their home, and they felt so bad. I lost a lot of work from, you know, 3 months of getting back on my feet after that. And you know what? Mm-hmm. He was the first person to call me. And then there was another person who called me, my other ex-fiancé. Can you believe it? Those were the two.
Oh, that's crazy.
He really loved me. Yeah. And the second one who called, I hadn't even spoken to him for 13 years. And we got back together.
Wow.
And you know
what?
So that made me, that was like the universe, God, the universe. You never know how there God is going to show up and work in your life. And when he had me get back together with that ex-fiance, that I thought that was my doing, the breakup, when I got back together with him for just a month and a half, I realized, no, he's not the right person for me. He's not my soulmate. He's not the one I should marry. And you know what? For 15 years, I felt regret that maybe I did something wrong. Thank God for that accident. Thank God I got back together with him. And I would never have if it wasn't for that accident, because he saw those pictures and called me. And then I was able to realize, you know what? I have no regrets. I'm not supposed to be with that person. I'm not supposed to be with Lorenzo. I'm not supposed to be. Hey, nothing
and,
against
and
him.
And you were able
just,
to
I'm
make
not supposed to
you
marry
were
him.
Able to make that closure, right?
Yep.
You had that closure.
Yep.
And think
but
about the gentleman that just passed. You had closure with him too. That maybe you weren't supposed to be together, but that didn't mean you couldn't be friends and you couldn't enjoy each other's company. Like,
right.
You just weren't supposed to get married. That was
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But
that was okay.
Both of you, that didn't make both of you jerks, and maybe you treated each other like jerks for a little bit. But,
yeah.
away and... Yeah, right. And there's two sides to every story. So,
mm-hmm.
But you were able to close it by even laughing at how you guys were jerks to each other, right?
Yep.
So now you can now you can process this grief and say, you know what? I had this loving man in my life. Maybe he wasn't the love of my life, but I actually had a loving man in my life that I learned from. That
yep.
taught me, I don't want to be this person in a relationship. I'm not going to break up with somebody like this again. And you know what? Even when you have a bad breakup, you can laugh at yourself later. Because you didn't just laugh at him. You laughed at you, too. And that's okay.
Yep. Yes. Wow. Okay. I want to know a little bit. Thank you for all of that so much. I'm very grateful for all of that. Wow. Because it validates, you know, you're an expert and you just validated that I really pretty much, you know, did it right. I led myself the right way through the right, to the right path. I'm on the right path, I mean. So, but I want to know about you. You experienced great loss. And then was that when you started to become a grief counselor, or were you one before, or how did that all happen for you?
Yeah, and I will tell you, I'm not a grief counselor, but I'm a grief coach. And I think that there's
coach.
A big difference. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So I will tell you, I have experienced, unfortunately, a lot of death in my life. I lost my mom when I was 18. I've lost my dad. I've lost all of my grandparents. But the most impactful for me was losing my husband. And I lost him in 2013, March 1st of 2013. And he was such an amazing man. And
sorry.
Was such a great, yeah, thank you. Thank you. But the way I look at it, Barbara, is I had him for 12 years. And there's people in this life that never find the love that we had. So instead
right.
of holding on to regrets and sadness, I really have filled my heart with gratitude and love, because again, so many people don't have that. But it wasn't always like that. And that's what my journey transitioned me into, being a widow coach, a life coach, a grief coach. And it was, you know, I was about a year and a half into my widow journey, and my husband left me. We had this big, huge extended family. And he was like, I want you to be a role model. I want you to show them that it's okay to grieve me, but you have to move forward. And I really, like, he was like, you have to, he called me mama. He's like, mama, you have to show them it's okay to go forward and to live on. And I'm like, okay. And it gave me a job, and it made me feel important, and I had something to do. Well, then everybody's life moved on like it was supposed to, and that's when my life came to a screeching halt. And I started drinking too much, and I played a lot of poker. I didn't really gamble for money very much, but I did gamble. And one morning I woke up with the wrong person in my bed and don't even remember any of it. And I was like, that was my personal rock bottom.
I'm sorry and to laugh, but I just remembered that scene in Sex and the City where one of the characters woke up and she did not know who this man was, and he walked to the bathroom and she saw his like really skinny, like flabby butt, naked butt. And he comes back to try to cuddle her, and she's like, what? Who are you? But yeah, it happened.
Yes.
It happened to my girlfriend too once.
Yeah, and luckily I knew him. He wasn't a bad man by any means, just not somebody that I would have put there. But not like a sober choice. And you know, I sat there and I was like, did we? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh
Lord.
Okay. And I just decided at that point, you know, got through the day, and I went on social media to make some, you know, stupid posts that didn't mean anything. And I saw my sister's three things she was grateful for. And she had been doing this, I think we figured out now, for about 4 years. On Facebook, she was posting three things she was grateful for every single day. And I'm like, you know what? Well, obviously, what I'm doing is not working. So I'm going to do what she's doing and see how it goes. And I have never went backwards. Gratitude is a foundation of my life. I have gratitude programs that I coach on. And I believe that when you have a really solid gratitude practice, you can get through anything. And I put it this way. I know that I was a gift to my husband, and that he died in my arms, and it gave him peace and a loving place to pass. And in his passing, he died of colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And his gift to me was to launch me into my soul work. And he had to pass for my soul work to happen. So in a roundabout way, I am truly grateful and honored to have been his wife and to be his gift, and for him to be the gift to brought me into my soul work.
Well, that's beautiful. And that's what I was saying about the universe works in mysterious ways. Whatever God anybody believes in, that's working in mysterious ways. And you never know sometimes, why did this happen? And now you found that because you were opened up. Your heart was opened up to it, to see what did you learn? What did you gain? So much. And you're so right when you said so many people never even have one day with a soulmate. And they wish and they dream about for their entire life, and you had 12 years of that. So, yes, I totally see how this is the way to go, everybody. This is the way to go. Otherwise, you know what? It could eat you up. It could eat you up.
Yes, you have to let it go, and you have to find gratitude. I tell people all the time, even if you're going through a bad time, which you are right now, Barbara, but even on the bad days where you, maybe you even ugly cry, right? Like you're just like so sad for whatever reason, let that go. And then you know what? Get up and go, whew, I am sure grateful for indoor plumbing and toilet paper today.
Exactly.
Because who can't be grateful for indoor plumbing and toilet paper?
Oh, yes. I'm glad I have a dirty floor to clean. You know, I mean, some people don't even have a floor. I'm glad I have a million clothes everywhere that I, you know, I need to fold. That is the prayer I said. I said, Priscilla, to my daughter, she's 13. I go, I'm really stressed out right now trying to get ready for this trip to go to the memorial to get everything in line.
Yeah.
And like, you know how you were doing your post? I want to do my post. I've literally been in frozen, paralyzed mode as far as posting because I see all of these people, because Ron Montez, he was a legend, an icon, a dancer. Everybody looked up to him. He, you know, 7-time United States Latin champion, and then the first PBS broadcaster opening up the world to ballroom, the first guy who ever did it on TV. So, like, he is an icon. And so I see all of their posts, and I feel like, okay, mine's different, though. And it's like, I don't want to say, oh, look at me. But I was with him. No. So I just don't do anything. And I have so much to share. So what do? Just go with my gut and just share what I want to share. And just, it's nothing that would hurt anybody else. I just feel so paralyzed. And I have all these beautiful photos and of us and laughing and having fun together, family photos and stuff. And all day I wanted to do it and I didn't. I just sat paralyzed. What is that about?
Well, I think you are trying to justify that it's okay to still love him when in the public eye, you guys broke up, right?
Yeah.
And so I think
mm-hmm.
that part of it is not wanting to be judged. And I think if you tell your story, Barbara, of, you know what, we did go through this really hard time, but what I know is that this man was a blessing to my life. And I want to honor that, and I want to do it in a respectful way, and I want everybody to know that his smile and laughter in the end brought me joy instead of pain, and that we worked our way through that. Whether we were married or not, we were able to work our way through that, and that's the character and the man that I want remembered.
Wow. I should have talked to you about 2 weeks ago, because I've been struggling with this, and you just like said everything I wanted to say in a nutshell in like 3 seconds. Wow, thank you. You're
I'm
a grief
so
coach,
welcome.
And I needed you. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you. Wow.
Well, and you have mm-hmm. my number, and you can call me at any time. I would love to help you through this journey. And you know what? This journey, and by you handling this in such a honest way, it's going to be a really good example for not just others, but for your daughter, right? She's 13
yeah.
years old,
yeah.
and so it's such an influential age and time in her life. And who the heck could ever think that our children would be living through what they're living through, right? And you're sitting here saying, I don't have to be treated a certain way for however you guys broke up. I don't even know the story, but you know, it got ugly for a while, but you know what? I'm not an ugly person, and I'm a loving, caring person. And you know, life got in the way and we resolved it, and we solved it in a manner that allowed us both to be at peace. And isn't that what everybody wants in life, is peace?
Yes. Yes. I'm so grateful for that.
I really hope, Barbara,
that
when you go to this memorial service, that you can just breathe and just say, you know what, I really loved you, and I'm so glad that we were at peace with each other, and I'm going to miss you with all my heart. But I know that there's a piece of you in my heart that will move forward with me.
And I want to say something.
Thank you. And I feel him. Oops, I feel him. I feel that his presence is here.
About a couple of months ago, there was this friend of mine, and she, fortunately for her, she got to spend the last few years of her life married to the love of her life, you know.
What a blessing.
But what happened was that I think there was some complications with medicine or something. But I went on a website, and it was, her name was Kim Coyler. It was the memory of Kim Coyler. And it changed to the memory of Kim Coyler. And I thought, what happened? You know? I mean, it was amazing because I had talked to this woman. I knew her when she was like, she had a son named Brandon. And every time Brandon would say his name, he would always accentuate the end to go, hello, is this Carissa? That's her other daughter. She goes, no, this is Carissa. This is Brandon. And I got to know her, and it was like, you know, I would be on the phone, and then, you know, and then I would listen, I would hear Brandon grow up and everything, and it just seems, now she's gone.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. What a shock to find out that way, too. Is not so fun, you know? And then the respect, like, okay, well, why didn't anybody call me, you know? But they did, a family member did let me know, and that made me feel so respected, like acknowledged, you know, like she knew, the family member knew. Like the ballroom people, they didn't really know so much, but the family member knew I really, really, we loved each other. But, oh, can I just say, I have a point to make. When we were going through that breakup and I was just bawling and my face was like a red tomato swollen from crying for hours, and he saw that. He saw my face. He goes, you really did love me. He didn't really know that I really, really loved him. What's wrong with me? Should I relationship do it differently? And how do I, if I say I love you and I'm there for you and I'm yours, yes. I mean, was I not showing my love for him? Why? He seemed so surprised that I was so upset with the breakup. He seemed like he really did love me. Well, maybe if you knew I really loved you, this all wouldn't have happened. So did I not show him? I have to look in deeper to figure out, maybe I'm not showing the person I love them enough.
So, Barbara, I think that a lot of times when somebody can't see the love, it's because they truly in their heart don't think that they're worthy of your love.
Oh.
So I think you really need to look at the fact of, if you had this breakup and you had these things, he might have been very broken and not feeling worthy of your love. I mean, I'm not here to toot your horn, but let's look at the woman you are, right? I mean, you know who you are. You know the things that you have done. And many men, even though they are accomplished, may not feel worthy of having a woman like you on their arm and having your love. And they may not feel deserving of that. And it could be a little bit of both. You may need to do some internal work on yourself too. And I think it's always good to do self-reflection. But it's not always about what you didn't show. Sometimes it's about what they didn't receive.
But that's not fair to me. That's not so fair at all, because just because who I am and, you know, I'm a model and
it's not fair. It's not.
TV shows and movies doesn't mean that my heart's different than others. You know, it's not fair.
It's not fair. It's really not. But I also want you to remember that you do show love and you do show affection. And you do say those words that, and maybe it needs to be, I love you because. I love you because of this. I love this because of who, this is what you show me, and this is what makes me just go pitter-pat inside. Instead of just saying, I love you. Or, I mean, not like that. Like, I'm sure you had very intimate moments. But
well,
a lot of times if
you,
if you tell people that, you know, I just think a lot of times when people are shocked the fact that somebody really loved them, I really truly believe that it's because they didn't know how to receive your love.
Okay, well, thank you for that. And then next time when I have a relationship, I will be more aware of what happened in the previous relationship. And you know what? That is a good thing because we learned. We learned from it.
Yeah.
We grew.
Yeah. And
we grew.
You learned that you deserve love too. You deserve to be loved the way you need to be loved. And that's not with an ugly breakup.
No. Oh, my gosh. And plus, you know what? I learned from that, too. Don't do that. There's no reason. I mean, but then that made me dive into my childhood. Like, why did I have such a severe reaction to what happened? Why did I go barricade myself in the guest bedroom, you know, and with an airbed?
Right.
You know what I mean? And drama. Why? Well, when I was a child, I started to think back. Like, why did I react that way? When I had this stepfather for many years, I retreated. Gary, when anything scary happened, when there was a blow up of any kind or some negative thing, I retreated into my room and I barricaded myself in there. I did the same thing as an adult. And I recognized that. I recognized that's not normal. That wasn't the way an adult should have handled this, and it's never going to happen again. I'm not going to ever handle something like that way again.
And what a blessing that was. And then after the fact that you guys could talk about it and not be and laugh about it and be like, oh my goodness, I am never going to do this again because I know that's not right. And he didn't go, yeah, you're damn right, you shouldn't have done that. It was more like, you know, a moment where you guys could both like, yeah, we both shouldn't have done the things we did. And you could have a moment to heal and still maybe not love each other the way you did, but still love each other through it and get over the anger and just love each other as people. Not even as intimate partners, but just be like, you know what? We're good people, and it's okay. We can be okay without each other.
Yes, yes. But also, when you do have the making amends time, that can also give them mixed signals to where, oh, wow, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I have another chance to get back together. And I think that did lead to that somewhat. And there were a lot more invitations to go here and there and stuff, and I didn't do that. But you know what? I don't regret not, because I did my amends. I did what I thought that's all I needed to do. It wasn't about getting back together. So, because you know what? If you're doing that, you're having your dinner after all that time, you're laughing. I mean, I didn't feel like saying, oh, but this doesn't mean that I want you back. You know, I just didn't feel like I wanted to then put the knife in and twist it, you know, so I didn't.
Right.
But should I feel bad about that?
No, I don't think so, because here's the thing, is you guys had that dinner, you enjoyed each other's company. He probably had regrets that he did want you back and maybe did realize that he didn't realize how much you loved him. At the same time, you stood your ground. I think it would have been different had you led him on, right? You had your peace and you friended him, but you never went to another one. Even if you went to one more and was just like, nope, I really seriously can't do this, you handled it in an adult manner where you didn't have to be an asshole to him. And if I'm guessing, your last conversation was probably pleasant.
Oh, yeah. Pleasant. It was laughing and loving and just, oh, breakthrough. It just was wonderful.
Actually, we had him
and,
on the show, right?
Wow. Oh, yeah. We had him on the show 1 year after the breakup, and nothing was ever mentioned about us ever being together or anything on the show. I had him on, Johnny and I had him on as a guest of expertise of dance and an interview about him. And it was really wonderful. And that I am so grateful to have as well. And I'm going to be sharing that too today out there. So a lot of the community can listen to and hear his voice. That is such a blessing. Thank you, Johnny, because that is such a blessing. At that time on Life Laughter Happiness, our show was more like spiritual based. So I was trying to like say, hey, let's twist this into like, what does Ron Montez do to keep a spiritual balance? So I was really trying, right, Johnny? Because we had another co-host and I had to get it okayed by saying, this is spiritually based. And I got him on, and thank goodness I did, because I think that hearing his voice, people are going to be soothed. They're going to hear his laughter, and that can be so healing just to hear him.
Yeah, and how healing was it for both of you to do something positive together after tragedy? You guys were healing each other and didn't even know it.
That's true. It was really wonderful. And I have been through something like you have. I wasn't a widow. This happened way early on. My daughter was two, and her father, we weren't married yet, but we were like, oh, the minute we met, no minutes apart. I mean, it was like that kind of relationship. And he was tragically killed in a car accident. And so that was a tremendous loss, but I don't really feel like I've actually done work with that on that. And so I'm glad I know you. And then another thing, my mom told me 1 year ago that she has a disease where the doctor told her you have 6 years left to live, and it's been five. So I went through this whole thing, like I've already lost her. And you know what? My mom said, I was crying at a drop of a hat. I'd drive by Chico's, her favorite store, and start bawling. You know, I'm not living in the same state. So I just, and that was during COVID, and I couldn't get to her. And I was just devastated. And she's like, Barbara, don't bury me yet. I'm not dead yet. And so I'm going through that too. And then everybody's saying, well, call your mother every single day. Well, but my mom doesn't want to be called every single day. She doesn't want it. That's not our relationship. Like, that hasn't been our relationship, so why does that have to be a relationship now? You know, okay. She said, but we're going to run out of things to talk to. I go, Mother, I'm going to call you every single day. And she goes, but we're going to run out of things to talk about. She's just so, like, strong. She's so strong. And then that gave me strength. But that's a whole nother thing I'm sure that you deal with a lot being a grief coach on. You deal with people who are maybe going to lose somebody soon, and they know it's coming, and they're anticipating that. And that can cause a lot of anxiety in life and change your life daily. So do you deal with a lot of that kind of thing?
Yeah, I deal with, and I don't, you know, people always say, oh, I would rather have time to be prepared. Sometimes that can be more of a struggle than losing somebody suddenly. Again, there is no good way to lose anybody. It all hurts. It all is painful. And whether it's a child or a spouse or a grandparent or a friend, they all mean something to us and are so treasured. And you never know what somebody's history, like I deal with death much differently than most people do, because I believe it's just part of life, right? So yes, I grieve, and yes, I go through pain. It is like taxes aren't even guaranteed. The only thing in life that is guaranteed is that we will die. And that's guaranteed. We are born and we will die. And those are the only guarantees that we have in life. And again, through COVID, everybody has had to deal with, holy crap, this virus might take me out. I'm healthy. I am not healthy, whatever it is. But something can come in and take so many lives all at once. And it put our mortality so smack dab in our face that's why there's so much fear. Nobody's ready to die. Nobody wants to die. Nobody's ready to die. And when you have to think about that on a daily basis, and it's in the news and it's on social media and it's everywhere, it's very difficult to deal with.
But you know what? That is such an interesting point. I want to point out that leveled the playing field. It was strange because my mom, I could feel that she was very lonely. She was alone. She was the one dying. And then when COVID came out, everybody was in the same boat. We could all almost die tomorrow. Like, we could all die tomorrow if we get this. We're in the same boat as you. And it was different. Some kind of light came over her to where she got more strength. And it was somewhat of a blessing in disguise for her, I think, that she didn't feel so alone in the world.
Isn't that strange
it's
to
weird.
Think about?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Very strange to think about. And it kind of helps you understand where her mindset is, right? She doesn't know if she's going to wake up tomorrow, if she's going to wake up 6 months from now. And truthfully, none of us do. None of us do. Any of us could walk out the front door tomorrow and something could happen. And I just think, you know, it's very hard to say blanket grief because, you know, there's all these stages of grief that people go through. I didn't go through the stages of grief in what is a normal way, but I didn't love a normal man, right? He was this incredible, amazing man that our love wasn't normal. And why would I grieve normally, right? But I grieve normally for me. And how you grieve and how Johnny grieves and how Debbie grieves are all going to be completely different because we all have different experiences. And again, I've seen so much death in my life that when I lose somebody, of course, my heart just aches and it just hurts so badly. But I also know that I will continue and I will go on. And that's what I'm supposed to do. And Roy would have wanted that for me. And, you know, truly, when you think about it, what loved one would want us to suffer and be miserable?
None.
No, they would, and all of them would want us to miss them. Of course they want to, everybody wants to be missed, but would anybody want your life to be devastated and you couldn't move forward and they're like you're frozen in time. No one would wish that on anybody. And I think we need to remember that as we're grieving somebody. I think about, again, that day that I had my rock bottom. I was like, oh, Roy would not want me to be doing this. And I am not going to do this again. And I'm going to pull myself together and put my big girl panties on. And I am going to fix my life. And that's what I did.
Right.
And I think that sometimes we need that reality check to smack us a little bit. But it's okay to grieve and miss them. And they're still, I'm 8 years down the road. I have somebody that I date that, you know, is so dear to me. But that doesn't mean on Roy's birthday and our anniversary and the day of his death and holidays that I don't just crave him. Like, I crave
mm-hmm.
him. Like, I miss him. And maybe someday I'll get married again. Maybe I won't. But that is not going to make me not miss Roy. He's always going to be missed. I'm always going to miss my mom. I'm always going to miss my grandmother. you know, I'm always going to miss those people. And that is really okay.
And what about if the man that you're with now, there's another scenario. I know about a couple of people. A lady, she lost her husband that was her soulmate, loved him dearly. He died. And there's a new one for many years. And the new one feels bad because she's always talking about the one that died. And the new one is feeling, well, you love him more than me. I mean, the new one is feeling like, gosh, this is all I'm hearing about. So how do you put a balance? Because that can hurt somebody too, to have to hear about how much you love somebody else and now you're the new one, and but she's always talking about the old one that died.
Yeah, and I think that you have to be respectful. I think that you have to honor the person you love, but you also have to honor the person you're choosing to have now. And of course, Roy comes up in conversation. I'm still really good friends with many of his friends and our friends. And of course, Roy was a big part of my daughter's lives. That, you know, he was a very, they look at him as a father figure. And this new man has to understand, and we've had conversations, that, you know, I wouldn't be in the dating world if Roy hadn't have passed away. But he did.
Right.
And I have to be able to talk about him, but I really try to be respectful to where I don't do it all the time, because I can't live in the past, but I do have memories. And I don't want my gentleman to not be able to talk about his past, whether it's his ex-wife or his stepdaughter or whatever that is. I want him to be able to feel comfortable sharing those memories too, because good or bad, he still has memories. And why, if he can talk about his dad, why can't he talk about something else? I'm not a jealous person. I'm not going to be upset. Like, I'd rather hear those things. But you just have to have the conversation up front and ask what they're comfortable with, and tell them when you're talking about the person that passed away, you do miss them, but you're really glad that this new person is in your life too.
Yeah,
it's a balancing act. It really is a balancing act. It's not easy.
And we just have to be mature about it and not use it ever to hurt a person. Like, oh, well, I wish you could have been more like my husband that's passed away. You know,
you can't compare.
So hurtful. I'm not saying that they do that, but I can only imagine how confusing, I mean, how complicated it can get in your field of work, basically, as a grief coach.
Yeah, and it's not easy to love a widow. It's different than loving a divorcee. It's different. It really is different. But a lot of good communication and coaching or counseling can help anybody through that.
That's wonderful. Okay, so I want you to let everybody know, all the listeners know, where can we find you? I know you're very active on Facebook and Instagram. Can you tell us exactly where so people can hire you? I mean, we need you, especially now. Yeah.
Yes, I would love COVID. That. And I try to be, my Instagram is a little bit more fun and silly. And that's COLO Life Coach Deb. So I live in Colorado. So it's short for Colorado Life Coach Deb. On Facebook, it's Debbie Wayne's Coaching. And I do have a website that is DebbieWaynesCoaching.com. I would love for everybody to come share and let me know that you heard me on this podcast, because I would love to let Brenda and, Barbara and Johnny know that they sent all these people to me. I love that.
Oh, good. Yes. And thank you so much, Johnny, for finding her. I mean, you could have found anybody, but you found Debbie Wayne, and Debbie Wayne is totally awesome. That's all I know. You found the right grief coach for us, Johnny, so thank you.
And again, please go through your memorial, and if there's anything I can do for you, Barbara, please, please, please reach out to me. I am here to help you.
Okay, thank you so much. And I mean, this has been invaluable. I mean, Johnny had told me that you were coming on, but my mind has been racing, trying to prepare so many different things that, you know what, I actually got a little surprised today when I realized, oh, yeah, that is today, and that's for me. And, I mean, I have chills all
and
over.
I have to, my grief is going to slap me in the face.
Oh, my gosh. So thank you. You've helped me immensely, and I'm sure you have helped so many. And thank you for what you do and your journey going through so much pain and loss. You know, you turned it around. And you made it into something wonderful that helps people in the world. And that's very admirable. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. That really warms my heart. Thank you.
Awesome. Where is Johnny? Johnny, are you
I'm
there?
Here. Yes,
okay,
I'm here.
Okay, good. Wow. Okay, thank you, Johnny, so much. And would you like to come back sometime on the show, Debbie?
Oh, I would love to.
Okay. Yeah, we would love to. I would love to have her back. Because I don't
I
feel like we have enough time to go over everything.
I don't just do grief counsel or coaching. I also, like gratitude, I'm telling you, gratitude is my jam. And I can find gratitude in just about any circumstance. So maybe we can talk about that sometime, or I don't know, whatever you want to talk about, my friends, I would be happy to come on again. You're both very pleasant and amazing.
Well, that would be great because I know about that too, and I'm into it as well. And I say, I love this place. I'm so grateful for this new place. I mean, I really am in my dream city, but it took me a while to get here, and I made it. And you know what? Every time I lock my door and leave and I lock my door with my key, I say, I'm so grateful for this place. And you know what? I have been blessed with so much abundance since I have moved here and done that and said that, like out loud or inside. You could say it inside. You just say it. I am grateful. I am grateful.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for so much. And you know what? It's the universe. It is the law of attraction, and it's going to come to you. You're going to reap the benefits of showing your gratitude.
Yes, I completely believe that. Completely believe that.
Okay, that'll be next. Awesome.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Debbie, so much. We're going to go get our nails done now and get ready for, you know, we want to feel good about ourselves, and we've been locked up in this place and trying to, you know, stay away and do our part to be safe with the COVID. And, you know, we are going to go show our condolences. And so, you know, we don't feel so good about ourselves because we're normally looking beautiful, getting our hair done, getting our nails done, doing things for ourselves. And I said, I'm doing this for us right after this show. And we're going to feel
good
better. So that's my advice, too.
Good for you.
Like, do something for yourself.
I am all about dressing for success and showing up with your best self because I come at the world differently when I got my sass on. I call it putting my sass on.
Putting your what on? I didn't get that.
My sass. Like sassy? I put
my
sass on.
I love that.
Yes.
I love that. I'm going to get my sass on. I'm going to use that. I like that one.
Yes. Go get your sass on.
So this has been so awesome. And I just want to tell everybody, you can, if you've missed anything, you came on late, you can find this show and all of our other shows on our YouTube channel, Life Laughter Happiness YouTube. And while you're there, subscribe. And you're going to be able to find info on our next one. And our next one. And this is valuable information. So you can find it again, listen to it again. But Debbie Wayne, and you're living in beautiful Colorado, and that's beautiful and awesome too. What a great place to live. So
yes. thank you guys so much.
And
I appreciate you.
I will be calling you soon, Debbie.
I hope you do.
I want to tell you how it went. I want to let you know how it went privately.
I would love that.
Okay. Right. Well, thank you so much. And everybody, have a great night. And go to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and follow us there as well. Life, Laughter, Happiness across the board. We will have links to this show for Debbie Wayne's show. And you're not going to miss it because we're going to make sure you have it. All right.
Good night, everyone.
Have a great night, everybody.
Good night.